Holy,
Blog Talk Radio.
Holy, the door swing wide, the glory, our own inside the door. Before you go,
Forever. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Thank you. free. We're going to worship these deeds. We're going to glorify your name. You're so worthy, yes, you are.
And we will shout it out.
give God the praise he's worthy of.
Hallelujah.
God, we desire more of you. We desire more of your good. It's because of who you are. Hallelujah. What a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. With one voice, sing. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. It's in the name of Jesus. Beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. He silenced the blow of sin and grave. Oh, the heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life. You have no
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Blessing and glory and honor forever. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for another day, a day in the land of the living. O God, we are not in the hospital, we are not in the mortician room, and we are not in the grave, but we are in the land of the living. And we thank you, Father, because you didn't have to keep us here. You could have let us cross over in the mighty name of Jesus. But Lord, we ask for this morning, God, that you will bless this word. We know your word is blessed, but we ask you to bless it again for us, that we might see, O God, and hear and speak what thus says the Lord. Father, I decrease right now that you might increase. Let there be none of me but all of you as I speak, God. Let the words that come out of my mouth be edifying, be lifted up, and be terrifying to the enemy. It's only you, O God, that I want to glorify. Only you that I want to honor. And devil, I want to terrify you. And the body of Christ, I want to edify you. In Jesus' holy name. This morning, we want to talk about this word. I had another talk on this word. I had God gives instructions for our good. But the Lord changed it this morning. And the topic will be consecration and separation. That will be the topic. That is the topic. According to the Lord instructions. Let us go to the book of, Numbers. Let's go to Numbers and then we'll go to Judges. Numbers chapter 6. We're talking about consecration and separation. You know, when we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, a lot of times we push our chest up and we walk with a swag and tip on our toes like we have arrived. And all the time we are slipping and dipping. But the Lord says that we must be consecrated and we must be separated. In other words, you will be in the midst of them, but you will not be the same as them because he has delivered us from darkness into his marvelous light. And a lot of times we find it hard because we are trying to impress the world. And we are not called to impress the world. We are called to share the word of God to the world and convict the world. The word of God will convict them to allow him to change them. In this book of Numbers, the Bible says, let's start at verse 2 for some reason. Let's start at verse 1. I know I had verse 2, but he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Now, here as we look at this thing, this God is speaking to Moses and giving Moses charge. He's giving Moses instructions here about the children of Israel. When they separate themselves, Nazarite comes from the Hebrew word nazir, meaning consecrate one, from the verb nazar, to separate. So you see, when we come into this, the Lord bring us into the kingdom of righteousness, of holiness, we must be separated. A lot of times what I find that I relapse about three or four times. Because when I was trying to get clean, I kept going back between the people, trying to allow the people to see my skin was glowing. I wasn't ashy anymore. I had oil that was coming out my pores because now I was eating and I was showering and getting good rest and stuff. So now my body began to work the way it was supposed to work instead of when I was running here and running there behind the drugs and not eating the food that gave my body nourishment. It's the same thing with Christianity. Or a follower of Jesus Christ, let's say it that way. Let's say it's the same way with a follower of Jesus Christ. When we begin to be nourished from God by the word, through the word, we have to separate ourselves. He consecrate us. And we never separate ourselves. Not mean that we're not going to speak to people or we're going to isolate ourselves. Separation doesn't necessarily mean isolation. It just means that I'm not going to sit down with them while they're smoking. I'm not going to sit down with them while they're drinking and cussing and acting like a drunken sailor. Why? Because now that I'm walking, we are walking now in the light. So we're not going to start bathing again in darkness. We're not going to start bathing in darkness. So it's a difference. There ought to be a difference between us and them. Not that we are perfect, but now we no longer like a pig bathing in the mud. We have been washed off. We have been cleansed. So we ought to be walking different. So Moses said, God said to Moses, as a Nazarite, they're separated and they're consecrated unto the Lord. You see, this consecration and separation is not unto man. It's not unto your pastor. It's not unto your bishop. It's unto God. Your consecration and you're separated unto God because you're now walking as the ambassador, servant, or however you want to say, of God. So our main objective is to glorify God, to honor God by our lifestyle. We want to act like we are all that in the bag of chips when we get into the house of the Lord because we want people to see us and hear us. And then they say, man, that was an awesome prophetess. That was an awesome bishop. Do you hear that apostle? Do you hear that evangelist? Do you hear that? She was awesome. He was awesome. We're looking for praises from men. And remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 44. Let's look over there quick. Keep your hand in Numbers. I just heard that in my spirit. He said that we receive honor from men. This is what he says. Let's read it the way he said. Jesus speaking. He says, John chapter 5, verse 44, so how can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? See, we're looking to praise, we're looking to get honor and praises for our speaking, our preaching, our teaching from men. We give each other plaques and stuff. You know, I come to your church or place of worship. You give me a plaque because I've been walking in this thing for some time. And when you come over to my place of worship, I give you a plaque. So you get your walls full of plaques. So when people come into your office, they see all these plaques on the wall. So they now give you more accolades. What about God? What about seeking those accolades that come from God? How do you get them? By walking holy. Walking in a consecrated life. Living a consecrated life and not staying separated. This is what he said, verse 3. I just know the Holy Spirit is speaking, so I got to go with him. He said, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. See, if you eat the grapes in this, these grapes are so strong, fermented, you could get high. You can get a mind-altering change in your mind. He said, now you've got to stay off of all of these things. You have some leaders. I was at a church in Virginia. I was ministering this years ago. And, you know, the deacons, they all wearing gloves. They have these white gloves on. And, you know, you know the whole story about where you had them gloves on because they didn't want you to... They had you wearing them gloves because they didn't want you to mess with that offering. And you had one hand behind your back so they can keep an eye on you. You know, that's why you had that hand behind it. That was make sure they can watch you, you know, and know that you were not putting your hand. I've seen people go and take the money and put the money in the pocket. They put their hand like they was putting money inside the bucket, and then they take up money and put in the pocket. I saw that in our church. But, man, I was ministering in Virginia, and the Lord is this. Holy Spirit moved. Hey, you just had a great time in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we had good fellowship. But the deacons, you know, I go outside because it was a little hot in there. You know, the air conditioner wasn't working so good, so I went outside. Man, the deacon had this little, you know, we used to see them Western movies that people had the cowboys would have the little silver flags in their pocket. The deacons had them little silver flags. I don't know what type of alcohol they had. But they went behind the church and they were drinking, so I went outside. They wasn't looking for them. And they were smoking marijuana back there and smoking cigarettes and drinking that lick their flask. And then they was spraying themselves up and all that stuff. I said, man, you ain't got to worry about me. Oh, the preacher had said, you ain't got to worry about me. Worry about the one up top. Worry about the one that sit high and see low. You know, so we tried to do our thing to please men and women instead of the one that truly has the key to heaven and hell. But here, God has given Moses instructions. Now, we're talking about consecration and separation. And it's very important because the only way we're going to make it in is if we are consecrated and if we walk and live a consecrated life. Separate yourself, ourselves from foolishness. Hallelujah. We are not the judge and the jury, but if we're going to make it in, we have to live this lifestyle. My lifestyle has to be a lifestyle of worship to God. So when people see me, they know. When they see us, they know that we are God's servants. We are not living to impress. We are living to be blessed by the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We want him to welcome us in. So Moses getting these instructions from the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 4, Numbers chapter 6. He says, with him, he said, all the days of his separation he shall eat nothing produced from the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. All the days of the vow of his separation and abstinence, they shall no razor come upon his head until the time is completed for which he separates himself to the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow long. Now see, we have to, God is calling for this from Moses. See, because everything, we're not going to let these people that are not living holy touch and rub upon you, because why? They defile your consecration. They defile this time that you are separated unto the Lord. It's very important. See, we want to say, well, I'm fasting and I'm praying, I'm seeking the Lord. And then we go back and we go around family members that they're blowing the marijuana, smoking our face, they're smoking the Marlboro, the cones or whatever they're smoking, and they're blowing all that nicotine in our face because we want to celebrate with them. No, God says you must be consecrated and you must be separated to him. And he said you can't cut your hair, you can't do nothing of the sort until the time that you have allotted unto God that you're separated, you spend this holy time with God. We don't think about that. No, we want to be with them. I have family members that I love. And I know that some of them, they still drink the Heineken and stuff. And when I know they're having that kind of time, I don't even go by them. I say, look, I just want to stay home. And I tell them, I said, I just want to stay home. And my honey and my granddaughter would go. So I just want to stay home. You know, I said, well, you don't want to go. Just maybe I just don't feel like going. I don't have to give a whole lot of story. I don't feel like that. All the days that he separated himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. See, and even when you consecrated, and you're separating your life, you don't go to funerals. You send your respect. You see, you don't go near a dead body. This is the law. God's word. He said, this is what you got to let the people know. When they are consecrated and separated unto me, this is what I want. I want a body that is being purified and cleansed, not defiled. If you touch that dead body, your body becomes defiled. Listen to what he says. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, mother, brother, or sister when they die, because his separation and abstinence to his God is upon his head. Even if your mother, father, sister, brother died. God is seeing, because you have a lot of time. You set the time. How much time do you want to stay in this separation, in this consecration unto God? How long are you going to fast and pray and seek the Lord? Hallelujah. There was time when you are in consecration that you don't even touch your wife. You don't touch your husband. Don't let your husband touch you in that kind of manner. Hallelujah, because you are consecrated unto God. It's a holy consecration. Now listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. This is the word. Numbers chapter 6, verse 9. He said, if any man dies very suddenly beside him, and he has defiled his consecrated head, then he shall shave his head on the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. Now, all the time in this text, you're going to see that all the days that we have set up to consecrate ourselves and separate ourselves unto the Lord, if we get defiled one day, all the other days, it's just like it's living a holy, righteous life, and then we go back into the world and begin sinning. All that time, all them years that we've been living holy unto God does not count. They cancel out because we went back into sin. You understand what I'm saying? This is the word. It's not what David's saying. He says he got to shave his head. On the eighth day, he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tent of meetings. Now, this is a place of worship. He's going to bring this stuff because he has defiled himself. And now the priest got to go in and intercede for him. Now, we don't need a priest to go in and intercede for us. No, we can go to Jesus. Jesus is our intercessor. You know that. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering and make atonement for him because he sinned by reason of the dead body. He shall consecrate his head the same day. Hallelujah. He got to go back into repentance. That's what it is. Go into repentance because he come out, mess with the dead person, touch the dead person. He says, verse 13, and we're going to go to somewhere. And this is the law of the Nazarite when the days of his separation and abstinence are fulfilled. He shall be brought to the door of the tent of meeting. Now he's able to enter in. Now he's able to come in now. See, I see people can go to the club. Oh, they can go to Mardi Gras. They can go to Carnival. They can go and go to the family gatherings and drinking the corn liquor and smoking the weed and stuff. And then go to church and go say, well, Deacon so-and-so going to read the scripture this morning. Deacon so-and-so, Minister Elder so-and-so, and it was all, yes, Saturday night, there was all at the family gathering, drinking and smoking and not going to fool, defiling themselves. And then they're up on the altar talking about, they're reading the scripture. They're repenting on nothing. Just go right upon the altar. You wonder why people are falling down dead. You wonder why people are getting so sick. Hallelujah, glory to God. They don't even repent. To take this consecration and separation and living for God as a joke, playing a game. This thing is serious. Let's go to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. You know the story. Judges chapter 13.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Judges chapter 13. Hallelujah. I'm reading King James and the NLT, two different Bibles. Here in this book, I had two verses, but we're going to come on down from verse 1 and see what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah, glory to God. We're talking about consecration and separation. Matter of fact, we go into the Amplified Bible.
said unto the Israelites, the king did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Whenever that we turn away from God and go back into sin, God will leave us alone to our own demise. God is still watching over us, but he leaves us to our own demise. Because why? We turn away from God. You know, you can you imagine when I was, I told you before, when I was in drug treatment, and then when I came out and looking, I was looking good, now my skin was glowing. I had some oil, because when I was using, I looked real ashy. Matter of fact, I didn't take too much showers, because I wanted to get to my dope man most of the time. I was to get my powder. But I didn't, too much worried about eating a whole lot of stuff, so I was losing weight, getting real slender. Hallelujah. If I really want to get this weight off now, and I smoke some coke for a couple of days, man, you will see this thing fall off real fast. But I don't really want to lose it like that. Hallelujah. I want to lose about 10 or 20 pounds, but I'll lose it the way I'm growing now, because I'm losing some now. But the thing is, once you defile that body, man, you become a target for the enemy. And God just stays up. He said, okay, I'm going to just wash my son. I'm going to wash my daughter. Because, you know, he can't lie. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's going to watch over. He's watching over us even when we're acting a fool. And when we come back, he's like the prodigal father. Hallelujah, glory to God. When we come back and repent, he wraps up, opens his arms and receives us. Hallelujah. He's not like man. He receives us because he's father. And he receives us, his son or daughters, with open hand, with gladness. He's glad. He's happy that we can return home. That's why when we fall down, he said a just man falls 7 times, but to get back up, we gotta get up and get up and get back down. Get up and go down on your knees. Hallelujah. And repent. He says, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have no children, but you shall become pregnant and be a son. Remember Elizabeth, Mary's sister, cousin? The angel appeared to her too. The angel appeared to Mary too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Since she should be a son. Therefore, beware and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. Now the angel has given her instructions. Hallelujah. She now got to start the sanctification or consecration, a separation starts with the mother. You have mothers today. You know, I'm not saying nothing new. You have mothers today that are getting impregnated and still smoking crack cocaine, still smoking marijuana, still smoking cigarettes. And then when the baby comes out, the form has a cross eye or twisted face or twisted leg, they now don't want to have them, want to keep the baby. When they're the one that defiled their womb, they defiled their womb by putting all that substance inside their body. God said it right here in the word. He told the woman, he said, look, therefore beware and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. Why? Because you're going to be pregnant. You are blind, but the Lord is saying that you're going to be pregnant. God has pregnant us with his spirit. And we have to be consecrated. Stay in a consecrated mindset. Live a consecrated life unto God, because why? We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. You wonder why we don't have the power that Jesus said that we should have. We're not operating in that anointing because we're suddenly slipping and dipping. That's what I call it, slipping and dipping. We want to fit in with the in crowd. When God said we got to be separated, we have to be consecrated and we have to be separated. God said that. I'm talking about separation. Consecration and separation this morning. It's on to the Lord, not to your husband, not to your wife, not to your children. We're consecrated unto God and we are separated unto him. We're living this life in a consecrated life, a life that's separated from the world system. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not connected to the world and the lifestyle of the world, the system of the world. Hallelujah. We are separated unto God. Feel the anointing. Oh, my God, I feel the anointing. He says, it's all right. In the beginning, he said, for behold, you shall become pregnant and bear a son. And no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And remember, we told you earlier that Nazarite comes from the Hebrew word, Nazarah, meaning consecrated. From the verb Nazar, meaning to separate. So when you look at these two words, you see that they go, they're like Matt and Jeff. They're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. See, they go hand in hand. You can't be consecrated and still connected to the foolishness of the world. You have to be separated. Hallelujah. If you want God to receive it, oh my God, Holy Ghost, thank you. If you want God to receive us, we got to live a consecrated, separated life. We teach this thing all the time. I mean, we just, the Holy Spirit is hammering this thing in us all week, every day. Glory to God. He wants us to get this mindset that we are different. We're different in the sense that we belong to God. Yes, you're still flesh and blood. God has a spirit living on the inside. But we belong to God. That's the difference. Hallelujah. You still bleed. You still hurt. You still cry. You still weep. But you belong to God. He told her. He's given her instructions for the unborn baby that's going to be in her womb. Then the woman went, verse 6, then the woman went and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his face was like the face of an angel of God, to be greatly and reverently feared or respected. I did not ask him from where he came, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, behold, you shall become pregnant and bear a son. And now drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death. Then Manoah, her husband, said, he entreated the Lord. He asked the Lord and said, oh, Lord, let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we shall do with the child that shall be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to meet the man and said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now when your words come true, how shall we manage the child, and what is he to do? He's asking the angels some earthly questions that he needs to hear from heaven. Hallelujah, some answers he needs to hear from heaven. You know, and the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, let the matter beware of all that I told her. In other words, he told her, don't drink no strong drink, and don't eat no unclean flesh. Hallelujah, glory. There's some things that are going to contaminate her body and even contaminate the child. He don't want her to eat those things. Hallelujah. So we as believers, I just feel this in the anointing. We as believers, we as the ones that are carrying the Spirit of God inside of us, ought to be aware of what we eat and what we drink. Even the words that we are listening to, even the movies, the pictures that we see on the television, even the pictures that we watch on our computers or on our phones, the phones and computers. We ought to be aware of these things that are going into our eye gates and our ear gates. We ought to be very careful and watchful, because even those things that we, oh my God, those electronic signals that we take into the eye gates and the sounds that we take into our ear gates contaminate our soul. It defiles our soul. Hallelujah. I find myself now, I'm watching this movie. I don't know if you all, some of you all, you broke my ish. You know, back down in the 70s, I think the 70s, there was a movie called The Knight Rider. Well, I find this movie. I found this movie. And it's a very clean movie. There's no cussing. I hear no cussing in that movie. And I've been watching this movie. And I said, Lord, look at you. You know, I said, thank God so much. I begin to praise God because I can still be entertained watching the movie when I'm not studying my word or sitting with my wife hanging out. But I can watch a good, clean movie. And then not getting the stuff that's going to defile my spirit, defile my soul. So I've been watching that every night on Netflix, because, that's been a long time. I've been watching that when I was back in the Caribbean. I so watch it every night. We used to go, we had black and white TV, but he sat there to see this car that was talking and all that kind of stuff. And we was amazed because we never seen anything like that. But then to see that the computer was talking in the car. And everybody was expired. We didn't have a television. We used to go out of a lot of people that didn't have television in my neighborhood. We used to go by this one lady's house that she had children in America. She had children in Canada. She had children in England. So they used to take care of their mother. They took care of their mother and grandmother very well. So they had big TV. And we used to go, you come, you bring your own brick, cinder block. And we would stand up, and sometimes you got to put two blocks because you got, if you're a little short in the front of the front of you, you want to get your head above their head so you can look through this room and window. She would let us look through the window and see the picture. And that was awesome, man. We would stay there just to see that Knight Rider. Now I can see it on my own computer. Hallelujah. And it's clean. And I don't have to watch and watching a movie where something going to pop up that's nasty, filthy stuff, men with men and women with women, because that is the proper stuff they're putting in, because they're trying to get it through to it now. If they don't put the full movie on, they bring a pop-up with a man, a woman with a woman, all this kind of foolishness. But here in this text here, the angel of God is talking to Manoah's wife. He's talking to Manoah and giving them the instructions that they need. Why? Because he's a Nazarite. He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be separated. He's going to be consecrated unto God. And it said there's a way that we need to live as we are living now with the same Nazarite mindset, the same ordination, the same consecration that's on our life. We ought to be living unto God, living with a mindset that we don't want to contaminate our soul, our spirit, man, because we want to see Jesus. People think that they can live anyhow, any way they want to, anyhow they want to live. And yes, I'm going to heaven. And they tell you, I know without a doubt. And then you have all this malice in your heart. You're so messed up with people, you can't even stand folk in the same church that you are going to, the same body of believers that you're fellowshipping with. You can't stand some people in the congregation. How are you going to fellowship with them in heaven? How are you going to praise them all they do all day long, from morning to night? All day long. There's no day, no night, but all day long, all they do is praise. How are you going to be in that big prayer praising if you can't stand your brother or sister? I was in the church with a pastor's wife. Man, you could see her looking at people that she couldn't stand with evil eyes. And, your countenance, your face, I'm like that, man. If I can't stand you, if you do me something wrong and it affects my soul, you can tell that you affect me. I don't even have to open my mouth and tell you. You look at my face, you can tell that you affected me. Because everything that's in my heart, it shows in my face. I know some people can look at you and laugh in your face, and they don't care too much for you. And they don't show nothing in their face. But if something is in my heart and right, you can say to my face, oh, man, you really messed up, David. You mess with David. You got him sad now. It's showing my face. Now I said, my wife, do something. She said something that affected me. She said, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I could tell that affected you. Because it's showing my face. Some people, they just look. You say something. They're ready to take you out. You look at their face. It's all in their face. Some don't got nothing in their face. Don't show you nothing. And then next thing you know, they're trying to kill you, trying to poison you or something. Because they can cover that up. They work for the devil. They can cover this stuff up. Look, you know, the devil, he disguised himself as an angel of light. So they can disguise themselves and come before you and laugh and tell how much they love you. But be confessed to that. They say they love you, but they don't care too much for you. The angel of the Lord is warning this woman. Verse 13. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, let the mother beware of all that I told her. 14. She may not eat of anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. We cannot pick and choose what we want to do when God has given us assignment. I was in Africa the first time. And glory to God, I saw this before back in the Caribbean. But this spirit came up the side of the building and came right through the sliding door. I didn't know where I was going to go minister. I thought I was going into this nice, fancy building. You know how we think. You think because you're the man of God or the woman of God, you get an assignment that you're going to this real plus building. Where I was going to be ministering in the slums, in the ghetto, real ghetto. You hear what I'm saying? Filthy. And right across from where I was going to minister is where the witchcraft people, the warlocks and the witches, they have a place like a, it's just like you have the CBS drugstore or the Walgreens. It don't look that plush, though. It doesn't look that plush. But, you know, you can go in there and you can say, well, like I want a portion to mess my man up or mess my woman up so that I would have the control over them. You know what I'm saying, make somebody crazy if you want to. And that demon come in there and talk to me, too. I had this preacher with me, another pastor, he stayed with me. And that demon said, why come to trouble them before the time? I didn't understand, man. I was so scared. My chest was jumping so high, you could see my chest moving. Like I was going to have a heart attack. I was so scared. I only seen something like that one time in my country when a woman was, my stepfather was dating this other woman. Cheating on my mother, and this woman wanted him, and she put some kind of powder in his clothes, some witchcraft powder. When he came home, it came out in the house, and it was like a big old bat on the ceiling. You could see this thing, a big shed would just fly from one corner to another corner and disappear, and then it would come from another part of the house. So I was so scared I couldn't sleep in the house. I went to go and sleep in one of the fishing boats that was on the beach. Come up for service. I was sleeping in one of those at nighttime. And that demon, and I called here, called back here from Africa, and I asked the people to pray and to see with me. I didn't know that where I was going to minister, that I was going to be troubling. The Spirit of God was going to have me to trouble with these warlocks and witches. And when I got there, they wanted to kill me too. We had the Muslims coming. Yeah, they want to kill me because I'm preaching how the Holy Spirit is preaching. I'm saying whatever the Lord say. And next thing you know, the same Muslims that wanted to hurt me, they came to the altar with their heads thing and all that stuff on and received the gift of salvation. Right there. See, once we follow the instruction, God will honor you. This woman, you know the whole story. And you know her son. Hallelujah. We're going to get all the, let me see where we at. Yes. No, here. Bishop James, he's at the veterans hospital doing some things done. Hey, Manoah says, now when your words come true, let's jump down. Verse 14. She may not eat of the angel told. She may not eat of that anything that comes from the grapevine, or drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, or the that I command her, let her observe. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, prayer, let us depend you that we may prepare a kid for you. Let us have you stay some time a little longer with us, that we might take care of you, feed you, give you something to eat. You'll be so kind to us to give us such a blessed word. That's what he's saying to him. Let's detain you. Let's keep you a little longer with us. Hallelujah. We're asking you to stay with us that we might give you some food. But if you make ready a burnt offering, listen. I will not eat of the food, the angel said. But if you make ready a burnt offering and offer it to the Lord, for Manoah did not know that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we may do you honor. He said to the angel, you just tell me your name. He don't know he's an angel. He thought he's an ordinary man. A Bible should be aware. You might be entertaining angels. Hallelujah. People coming by you and talking to you, they may be the angel of God. Watch how you treat them. Be careful how you treat them. Hallelujah. Watching the show the other night on the computer, African show, and the man was a poor old man, and the woman just slapped the old man and knocked him down in the street because she thinks he was so sophisticated with her fine clothes. And the old man said, daughter, why you treat me this way? He said, I'm not your daughter. Why you call me daughter, old man? Why don't you go somewhere and die? The old man had his little cane, and he sat back on the seat. And he says, he cursed her. He told her, everything that you did to me gonna come back to you worse than you did to me. And ever since that day, everything that she did turned bad. She lost her job. She lost her fiance. The man that was going to marry to her just left. Just up and left. Everything started going bad because that old man spoke a word and God honored his word. We have to be careful how we treat people, especially those of us that are ministering this word of God and declaring that God is speaking through us. We have to be very careful how we treat people. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's about him. We want people to see God through us. God wants us to live a consecrated life, a separated life, a life that glorifies him. You don't have to walk around with your Bible underneath your arm and say, Jesus, 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 everywhere you go. You don't have to do that. But you have to live the Bible. We say it every day. The angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, saying, it is wonderful? The angel is talking now, quoting Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. People going to want to know who you are. Hallelujah. You do something for them, but you're not doing it just to get accolades. Hallelujah. Apostle Stone, Apostle Joyce, Bishop Washington and Apostle Washington, they just send money to Africa and India to help the kids. They're not doing that to get accolades, to get their name over the computer. They're not doing something to get their name on Facebook or Instagram or Periscope or something. They're doing that because that's the heart of God that's inside of them, inside of us. I just got a little bit of money, and when I get off of here, I got to send some money over to India now. You see the picture this morning, all that big revival going on in India? We Blog Talk Family is supporting that. They don't have the money to do that, sir. That's what he says. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and 6. He said, the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, saying it is wonderful? He said, saying it is wonderful. So Manoah took the kids with the cereal offering and offered it upon a rock to the Lord. And the angel working wonders, while Manoah and his wife looked on. For when the flame went up towards the heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the altar flame. And Manoah and his wife looked on, and they fell on their faces to the ground. And the angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah or to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. See, sometimes we have to get some. God has to do some things to let us know that it's him working in our lives. It is him that is instructing us. We have to fall down a couple of times. Something's got to happen to us for us to recognize it's God who's working in us and through us, or through the person that's talking to us. And a lot of times we don't even recognize the person that's in our neighborhood, our local pastor, and our little small church that is giving us the bread from heaven. We tell somebody come from out of town. And I say, well, this is Bishop so-and-so. Ask Bishop so-and-so, Chief Apostle so-and-so. And you want to do everything for that person, but will do nothing for your local pastor. The one who is spending all the time giving you the word of God, uncompromising, infallible truth of God, not watering down the word, giving you it like it is, so you can grow. Here one man told me, he said, oh, I got to do this for the preacher. He's on television. I got to sell $1,000 in his name. I got to sell $1,000. Oh, I want that anointing. You can't buy anointing. You can't buy anointing. Anointing is a free gift from God, and God chooses whoever He wants to pour His anointing on. You can give the preacher $1 million. They're not going to get the anointing. That anointing on that preacher is for the preacher. For the people that God's going to put in that preacher's path. If you live right, God will anoint you to do what he wants you to do. God wants us to sow in our local church. He wants us to take care of the orphans and the widows and the fatherless, the motherless. Hallelujah. He wants us, the main thing God wants us to do is God wants us to be obedient to him. He wants us to follow his instructions. Hallelujah. Not just what sounds good to us or feels good to us. A lot of people only want to follow what feels good or sound good. You want a highfalutin word, not the truth. Listen to what he says. The angel of the Lord didn't ever, since that point in time, didn't appear to them anymore. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his sensible wife said to him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a cereal offering from our hands, nor have shown us all these things, or now have announced such things as these. And the woman in due time born a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in Mahanaim, the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshcol. Now God began to move upon Samson. Why he's moving on Samson? Because his mother was obedient to the angel of the Lord. No. We want this anointing that's on our life. The Bible says from after the third and fourth generation, we want this thing to go on to our children. Now, guess what we got to do? if this thing is going to work for us, we have to live an obedient life. We have to live a life that gives God glory. We have to live a life that honors God, that when people see us, they'll know that we are truly the people of God, the sons and daughters of the Most High God. He said to the in 2 Corinthians 6, we always, from time to time, we hit the scripture and bring it out. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18, he said it very clearly to us. coming all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament. See, so God is not getting away with it. God is not getting away with the word. He's not getting away with the Old Testament, as some people say. Paul is quoting the Old Testament here. And he says here, he says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, say it there again, and I will receive you. And you will be my, and I will be your father, but I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He is quoting the Old Testament. See, we got to stay away from the unclean thing. Hallelujah. God deliver us from that stuff because God no longer want us to indulge in that stuff. We only time we're going to talk about that stuff because it's a testimony. It's a testimony. We glorify God when we share our testimony. Let the world know we didn't deliver ourselves. He delivered us. Hallelujah. So we have to stay away from those stuff. Let's go. Here, now, Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah saw one of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. But his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen or among all people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his mother, get her for me, for she is all right in my eyes. And I'm attracted to her. I got this feeling inside my heart for her. You know, this is the Israelites. He's not the right Israelites. They did this stuff. God warned them when they were coming, when he was bringing them out of Israel. Don't get connected. Don't get, oh my God, attached to them foreign people over there. He said, don't get connected with them because I know God knew if you get connected to the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hittites, he know that they're going to start to worship those gods, those idols, those other tribes, the people are worshiping. See, God knows the end from the beginning, before the beginning. And God always warns his people not to do this or do that. We got to listen to the instructions of the Lord. So I said, I was telling his father, mother, she filled my eyes. I have a strong desire for her. His father and mother did not know that it was the Lord and that he sought an occasion for assailing the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. The Philistines were in control. Then Samson and his father and mother went down to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion as he would have torn a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a while, he returned and took her. Now he went and had relationship with her, intercourse where he take her. And they turned aside and to see the body of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. And he squirted some of the honey out into his hand and went along eating. And he came to his father and mother and gave them some. And they ate it. But he did not tell them he had taken the honey from the body of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, for that was the customary thing for young men to do. And when the people saw him, they brought 30 companies to be with him. And Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen on the garments and 30 changes of raiment. But if you cannot declare it to me, then shall you give me 30 linen on the garments and 30 changes of festive costly raiment. And they said to him, put forth the riddle, that we may hear it. And he said to them, out of the eater came forth food, and out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not solve the riddle in 3 days. And on the seventh day they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to declare to us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us to make us poor? Is this not true? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have put forth a riddle to my countrymen and have not told the answer to me. And he said to her, behold, I have not told my father or mother, and shall I tell you? See, we have to be careful. When we are not in order with God, there's going to be trickery. There's going to be all types of testing and temptation that's going to come to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This woman wants to know, and we know what it's leading to, because she's going to seek out his deepest secret. What we saw back over in Numbers. Hallelujah. Where God has spoken to Moses to tell the children, the Nazarites. So here, let's finish this up. Here. And see what we got here. Quick, glory to God. See, when we are consecrated, my God, we think different. We have to think different. When we understand that we are separated unto the Lord, we begin to operate different. You must operate different. I don't operate like a crackhead anymore. I don't operate like a street person anymore. Even when I go there and somebody calls me to do a job for them, and I know that I'm giving them a good deal on the job because I don't have no overhead. All of my tools are paid for. And I got some very expensive tools. They're all paid for. So I give them a good job, a good price, and then they want to take advantage of me because they figure, well, they don't want to pay me the money. I said, well, don't worry about it. We'll make you happy. That's what I tell them. I said, well, we'll make you happy. What price will make you happy? Because why? I want them to see. Because God's going to still reward me. I'm still going to get what I charge. God's going to reward me because I'm honoring him. He said, well, that's a godly man. All they want to do is get money. And I said, no, what make you happy? And usually they come off, they want a $400 or $500 and knock off the bill. I said, okay, if that make you happy, that's what we go with. I'm still going to make a profit. Since here, the woman is enticing her husband. Samson said, I didn't tell my mother or father. What you want me to tell you? Then Samson's wife wept before him and him the 7 days their feast lasted. And on the seventh day he told her because she pressed him with entreaties. Then she told the riddle to her countrymen. See, I want you to understand that the devil does not give up. I said many years ago, I used to say, the devil don't drink coffee. He don't stop for lunch. And he don't care what time dinner is. Anytime he catches us, not on about our father's business, he's going to try to put a monkey wrench inside the plate. Anytime he don't catch me, let me talk about me, focusing on the things that God called me to do, guess what happens? He's going to bring up some young woman. He's going to bring up something that looks good, that entices me. He knows what I like. He knows my past. He knows our past. He don't know my future. He know what I'm doing now because he can see what I'm doing now. But he don't know my future. He know my past, and he can see my present. So he can always try to entice us, okay, to defile our temple, the temple of God. So we got to stay abreast of the word of God. Every day we got to start our day with the word of God in prayer, seeking God's help, seeking God's guidance. Why? Because we want to be victorious throughout the day. Yes, you were victorious yesterday, but you better have your armor on to be victorious today, because the enemy is still coming, trying to pierce you. He's still trying to pierce your intellect. He's trying to get to your heart. He's trying to get to your soul. So you got to make sure that your armor it don't have no cracks in it. It don't have any crevices in it. You understand what I'm saying? And crevices could be lying. You know, doing something that's not right. Have some jealousy, conniving, stuff. Things that are not pure. They're crevices, they're cracks in your armor. So we got to make sure that we fill in those cracks by falling down on our knees early in the morning. So Lord, forgive me in my thoughts, any thoughts that I had that come unto me. Cleanse my mind from anything unclean. Why? Because the unclean thoughts that we keep is what the enemy going to use to take us out. Hallelujah. She worked for 7 days. This woman is weeping. You know any man with a heart go feel that. My woman crying, and she crying. Every morning she gets up, she's crying. Nighttime she's crying before she goes to sleep. She said, can't even go to sleep. She's crying. She's just in tears, boo-hooing all over the house. I said, honey, what's going on with you? Well, you just told me, I asked you that question before. You're going to have a heart. You're a man. You're going to have a heart for your wife, for your woman. I don't understand why you can't tell me. I've been asking you this in 7 days, and you still ain't tell me nothing. She's on Samson. The man of the city said to Samson on the seventh day before sundown, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Call her heifer, his wife. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their power as spoil, and gave the changes of garments to those who explain the riddle. And his anger was kindled. Excuse me. And he went up to his father's house, but Samson's wife given to his companion, who was his best friend. Do you see what happened there? You see the kind of woman that he married to? He deceived him so that he can defile his temple. Hallelujah. So that the men and her countrymen could overtake him, know his wisdom. Samson, this is a powerful story. As we dive into this thing deeper, the Lord says, this woman will come back to Samson. This is going on because we have to protect our mind's eye. We have to protect it. What we're looking at, what we connect to, who we involve with, we got to protect it. The enemy is busy. He's using everything he has, all his armor. He's using all. He's not stopping. Somebody said that the devil is faithful. The devil and his agents are faithful. Why? They're on their job 24/7 trying to destroy the men and women of God. We can't even spend 45 minutes in prayer. We can't even give God 15 minutes to pray. We find an excuse why not to pray. It's warm. I want to go to the beach. It's warm. I want to go finally get together, having to cook up. We can't pray. We have no time to pray. Know when we want to pray? when we get sick, when our water bill is late, when our electric bill is late, when a car payment is late, when a house note is late, we want to pray. Hallelujah. When our children are going through trials and tribulations, when our relationship seems like it's falling apart, we want to pray. God has given us instructions how to live a consecrated life, how to live a separated life. God has given us instructions. We can read this whole text. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 23 and 9. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah. You know, Samson, you can go back to Samson, but we don't go somewhere here today. Samson, you know the whole story? That his wife deceived him, and he told her his secret of his power. And they cut off his hair. Blinded him. You know the whole story. Since Jeremiah 23 and verse 9, concerning the prophets, my heart says, Jeremiah is broken within me. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. A man whom wine has overcome. Because of the Lord and because of his holy words, which he has pronounced against unfaithful leaders. See, when you go back and you're not faithful enough to honor what God instructs us, we find ourselves doing things that we used to do. See, once we begin to drink the alcohol, the drugs, all this stuff, it changes our focus, our mind. We're out of control. We don't know what we're doing. You know what people say, you're talking like a drunken sailor. You're saying everything that don't make sense. Some people say you're talking through the side of your neck. Well, all this stuff happens. This is why God has warned them not to touch the strong drink. Especially when you are in a you're fasting, you're praying. I mean, I got wine here that was here, kosher wine. I mean, she had that wine for 4 months or more. Now, you know, if I was still using it, man, that wine would have already been gone, and another 2 or 4 or 5 more bottles would be here. But I can buy a bottle of wine, and that wine would last me months. Because when I do Holy Communion, when I partake of Holy Communion, I just take a little timber, a little glass, a little small glass, you know. We have to make sure and focus on who we are and whose we are. Live the life that pleases God. I don't try to please my mama. She's going home to be with the Lord. But I know, I'm thinking about the other day, and I've said, Lord, it was so good to have her as my mother, because she gave me some good advice when she was alive that I still use today. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Woman talked to me about God. Couldn't read all right, but she instructed me about God. You know, she gave me what I needed to live the life. And now I can reminisce all that she has. If I had a problem, I can call up and say, Mama, this is her way. When she was still alive, and in the early 70s when I came here, I could call her for mistakes and ask her questions, and she would give me the answers that I needed. Not what I wanted, but she'd give me what I needed. Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Harlot tree and wine, and new wine, takes away the heart and the mind and the spiritual understanding. Do you hear what that says? Let me read it for you again. I'm reading out the Amplified Bible. Harlot tree or whores, prostitutes. Prostitutes and wine, and new wine takes away the heart and the mind and the spiritual understanding. You can't get it no clearer than that. You know, some people when they drink and smoke and get high and all that stuff, they would go to bed with men or women that they normally wouldn't want to talk to in the daytime. And after they get, oh, they do whatever they got to do and they get up. Oh, I can't believe, they can't believe that they have slept with that man or slept with that woman. But under the intoxication, they slept with that man or that woman. Because it controls, the alcohol, it takes control of your mind, of your understanding, your heart. Think of what he said here. Harlotry and wine, and strong and new wine takes away the heart and the mind and the spiritual understanding. Everything is gone. Take complete control. Complete control. Glory to God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 38. Just give you some more of this before we go. We're still in the Amplified Bible, Jeremiah chapter 38. Glory to God. You can never get enough word. Jeremiah chapter 38 and verse 6. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon or cistern, a pit, in the charge of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guards. And they let Jeremiah down into the pit with ropes. And in the dungeon or cistern pit, there was no water, but only mire, clay dirt. And Jeremiah sank in the dirt. Now, here we can see that when you live in the life and you don't compromise the instructions of the Lord, guess what? You will be treated harshly. Bishop is on the line. You will be treated harshly. Jeremiah is still standing faithful. He's not compromising. God has given him instruction to talk to leaders in chapter 23. You know the whole story. And Jeremiah is speaking exactly what God said. What are you speaking? Ask yourself. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Same Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 14. Hallelujah. The prophetess, Kirstie, she'll be on tomorrow. Got a strong topic, as always. The women of God, they're hearing from the Lord. God is speaking to us, and if you want to listen, you listen. If you don't want to listen, you can do like the world. Close your ear. But God has given us instructions to live. Because I can tell you now without a shadow of doubt that I tell you within the next 6 months, well, I said 6 months a month ago, so I can say within the next 5 months, it's going to get so bad in the United States of America. Not only here, but in the world. And only those who know their Lord, only those who know him, going to be able to stand. Hallelujah. Because he's the one who's going to provide for us. Well, I tell you, Romans chapter 14, and let's go to verse 21. Now, Paul speaking, he said, the right thing is to eat no meat or drink no wine at all, or do anything else. If it makes your brother stumble or hurts his conscience or offends or weakens him. I was in a body of believers then. Man, I tell some of these people, they got a caught up thing they're caught up about. They're caught up if you eat a pork chop or you eat pork spirit, man, they get all messed up. But in some place you'll say, well, I'm not going to eat no pork. I'm not going to do it because my brother over here, my sister over here going to get offended. And that might cause them to want to leave the place of worship, causing them to stumble. Well, I avoid this pork chop. I avoid the spare ribs. And Paul says sometimes you have to, you know, because the Bible says before you eat anything, I don't care what I'm eating. I pray over it first. I know the hands that cook that food in the restaurant. I pray over that food. You know what I'm saying? People speak evil over your food. You know, they can put an incantation over that food. I don't care. They don't know you. But they're wicked. People are wicked. So you got to always remember, pray over your food. So if there's a witch in that, or a warlock in that kitchen working that restaurant, I'm not saying that they're there, but if there's one there, and there couldn't be one there, because Satan got agents everywhere, you got to pray over your food. Knock that thing to the fire. Knock it in the fire. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Knock it in the fire. Don't cause your brother to explain this thing to your brother, because some people, the Bible says you shouldn't eat no pork, you shouldn't eat no thing with a hoof. But then again, the Bible come back and tell you, pray over everything. When you pray over things, it makes that good to eat. Remember what Peter says? Peter had an encounter with a sheep coming down from heaven, a four-cornered sheep with all types of hoof, four-legged hoofs, animals inside, and Peter said, no, I don't eat that stuff. He's this holy Jewish boy. And God let him, he said, well, I don't eat nothing unclean. God had to let him know. He hadn't made anything unclean. Do you pray over that stuff? It becomes clean. I do not get drunk with wine. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit. See, I might act unseemly sometimes to some people that don't understand. And they might think that I'm under the influence of something. But listen, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. See, Paul let you know. Proverbs chapter 23 and 20. Man, look. People are going to look at you. When you feel, oh, my God. When you feel, being there among wine bibbers, among ravenous eaters of flesh. He said, well, listen. Separation I'm talking about. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. Don't find yourself sitting around with family members because they're your family members. And you know, every other word, come on, sister, so-and-so, brother, so-and-so, mother, is a cuss word. Drinking all that corn liquor. It's getting warm now. They're all getting that corn liquor. Peach corn liquor. Apple corn liquor. You know what they do in the summertime. Don't cop in down south. Man, I drink that stuff when I used to get drunk and stuff. Man, I drink that stuff, man. I take one little shot glass of that stuff will tear you up, man. Have you talking through the side of your face, man? He says, don't get drunk with wine, for that's the debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Filled. Man, it don't cost you nothing. All you need to do is pray. And start worshiping God, and all of a sudden that anointing come upon you. And you don't have no hangovers. That's what I like about the Holy Ghost. Oh, my Lord Jesus. And you don't have no hangovers. Don't cost you nothing. Just to pray and seek him. Talk to him. This is what he says. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord. And he must drink no wine, nor strong drink. And he will be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb. And we saw that over in Numbers chapter 6. Even from his mother's womb, he will be anointed. When we listen to what God is saying, God was talking to Zechariah and Elizabeth about John, the angel talking to him. That God speaking to the angel. Listen. God wants us to operate in the same realm. This is not just for Zechariah and Mary and Elizabeth. This is for us too. We got to get to the place where we know who we are and whose we are. Then we begin to walk like we know that we belong to him. And what happened is that the anointing begins to flow through us. Glory to God. People say, well, what's going on? They would say, what's going on? You know why? Because they want to see you flowing in the anointing and the power of God. You're flowing in the anointing and the power of God. Once we defile that temple, listen to me. Once we defile that temple, things don't go right for us. Let's go over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 5. Moreover, wine and wealth are treacherous. The proud man, the Chaldean invader, is restless and cannot stay at home. His appetite is large, like that of Sheol, hell. And his greed is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and collects all people as if he owns them. See when you start getting you rich, you can drink any kind of thing. You got caviar, you got all this stuff. This is what the Bible says. And they act reckless. They're restless and reckless. We have to be careful. God saying, look, if you begin to start slipping and dipping, you'll find yourself truly falling. You see, you don't fall all at once. It's a slow slide. Just like when people backslide. I don't know why they call it that, but they backslide because it happens slow. One Sunday you don't see them. Then you don't see them for two Sundays. Then you don't see them for three Sundays. Then you don't see them at all. They're going back into darkness, drinking and doing all the stuff that they used to do. Womanizers. Remember we read the one about the prostitute? They're doing all this stuff. Let's find another one for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, glory to God. Let's go to Acts 21. Acts 21. Oh, Jesus, we almost there. Acts 21. We'll come back with something from another place some next time. Acts 21. Paul is evangelizing, and he's bringing in the Gentiles into the place of worship, holiness, to be with God, to know God. The Jewish people don't want them because they're not circumcised. But Paul is reaching out. Understand? Here in Acts 20, 21 and 24, they take these men and purify yourselves along with them and pay their expenses for the temple offering, so that they may have their heads shaved. Thus, everybody will know that there is no truth in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself walk in observance of the law. Paul said, take them into the temple. Now, remember, when you defile your body, one of the things we'll have to do, we read in Numbers chapter 6, is that you will have to shave your head. And then you will have to take the turtle doves and the pigeons to the priest, and the priest will take it before the Lord to bring you back in order with the Lord. Okay, with the instruction. Now, verse 26 says, then Paul took the four men with him and the fallen on the following day, and he went through the rites of purification, purifying them along with them, purifying himself along with them. And they entered the temple to give notice when the days of purification, the ending of each vow, would be fulfilled, and the usual offering could be presented on before of each of them. Now the people see this. The Jewish people see this. Paul brought the Gentiles into the Jewish temple, into the synagogue. He had the head shaved. Because he's showing now the priest and all the people is that these men, these women, they are ready to walk in the righteous way. Hallelujah. They're submitted to the Jewish law. Hallelujah. But the Jews didn't want that. But they want to go to Titus. Titus is going to be the last scripture. I don't know if Bishop is free. Titus is going to be the last scripture here that we give you here. Titus. Titus 1 and 7. And then Titus 2 and 3. 1 and 7 says, for the bishop and overseer, bishop is an overseer, as God's steward, must be blameless, not self-willing, excuse me, or arrogant, or presumptuous. He must not be quick-tempered or given to strong or pernicious brawling violence. He must not be grasping or greedy for filthy lucre, financial gains. Now, you see, he lays out, this is talking about the character of the bishop or the leader. He can't be quick-tempered. He can't be given to drinks, strong drinks, or pernicious. Can't be brawling, violent. He must not be one that grasping and greedy for filthy lucre. Some people say, oh, I can't preach at your church. You don't want to give me what I want. I can't come to your church. I'll be going to Georgia pretty soon to preach for Pastor Vic in the open tent revival. I ain't going down there to make the money. If they give me an offering, that's fine. If they don't give me an offering, still fine. I'm going down there to glorify God. I'm going to Ghana. I'm not going to Ghana to make money. They don't have the money to give me. I'm going there to glorify God, to allow God to use me. Bid the older women similarly to be reverent and devout in their department as becomes those engaged in sacred service, not slanderous or slaves to drink. They are to give good counsel and be teachers of what is right and noble. This is the word of God. You can't get away from this. God said we got to stay with a pure mind. Listen to what he said in verse 4. So they that will wisely train the young women to be sane and sober of mind, temperate, disciplined, and to love their husbands and their children. Don't you see that? You got so many people in church that are playing foolishness, man, playing games with the gospel because they're not taught the truth. This is a sound doctrine. Sound teaching makes sound people. Sound doctrine makes sound people. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you allow us to talk, speak, and teach about today. God, you have given me so much on this word, Lord, and I just bless your holy name, Lord, that we have put all the scriptures in today that you gave us. We didn't miss out any. We even put a little bit more than we had. Yes, but we ask, God, that you bless the hearers and all those that would hear this word at a later date. Lord, let this word take them to another place in you, God. Oh, Father, we ask that people, even those that thought that they started, told them that it's okay to have a drink. I was with a lady some years ago from a church here in our city, and I was visiting over there. I went to her house to fix something for her, and she was telling me, I saw the marijuana butts in the house. And she was saying, well, her father says that it was okay to have drinks. She was drinking Heineken. I said, I don't drink. He said, her father told her, because she was Catholic, father said it was okay to have drink, smoke a reefer and all that kind of stuff. I said, I don't do that. I don't do that. See, you have to teach the people the truth. And the truth will make you free. Father, we pray now that we have said what you have given us to say, and that somebody heard, somebody received, and somebody would activate this word in their life, in their ministry. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Is Bishop available?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Lord, okay, come on in. I saw your phone, so come on in. I am finished. Thank
Praise
you.
Praise the Lord, God Almighty. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Apostle. Greetings, beloved brothers and sisters, new believers. And I'm sure there's some new believers in Christ Jesus today. I pray that there be billions that accept him as their Lord and Savior on this day, O Heavenly Father. Praise your holy name. Now, for those who have been prodigal sons and daughters, turn yourself around. Come back to Jesus. You know he's standing at the door waiting for you to standing there waiting for you to open the door and let him in back into your heart. He's never away from us. He sees us from afar off, whatever we may do. And I say we because we all fall short of the glory of God each and every day. I don't have a claim to have a squeaky clean background, but I'm trying so hard to get it to be squeaky clean. You know, I mean, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's clearly written in the book of Romans, in chapter 3, verse 23. We all fall short of the glory of God, but Jesus is the way that the Lord God Almighty has cleared us if we just accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and live accordingly. Repent of all our sins. Repent of each and every sin. And really mean it. I ask you, please, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do so on today, because no one knows when the Lord God will require our souls. It may be in the next minute, the next hour, the next 50, 60 years. We don't know. But be prepared. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent of the evil things that you were doing, which might not even seem evil to you. But think about it. Read the Word of God. Read the Ten Commandments. And you will see in the Ten Commandments of God that every day we're going to fall short of something. And according to the book of Romans, like I said, chapter 3, verse 23, it clearly states that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus is the way that the Lord has made us aware of, and that we must repent. We must accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He is the only way to salvation for eternal life with God. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. If God did not so love the world, he wouldn't have given his only begotten Son to be the ultimate sacrifice for us. Do not have Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that no one does. Do not have Jesus suffering and dying for our sins and iniquities in vain. Oh, God. I mean, he's still Jesus. He never sinned, but sin was put upon him to save us. Honor and praise the Lord always in your life. And as many as you think that you're going to go back to the way you were, Jesus rebuke the enemy. Say, rebuke the enemy and the enemy and Jesus rebuke. I don't want to go back to my previous life. Repentance is what you have to do. Do not go back to whatever you were doing. If you made this confession and you believe, as it says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, and verse 8 says, but what does it say? It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you must speak it out loud, because the enemy can inject thoughts in your mind, but he can't read your mind. So you must say it out loud so he can hear. You put it in the atmosphere. Even if you whisper it low, you're still putting it in the atmosphere. But if you're just thinking it, the enemy don't know whether you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior or not, because he can't read your mind. So you have to speak it out loud. That's why it says the word is near you. It's in your mouth. See? now it's in your mouth, and verse 9 says it's got to be in your heart. You must repent. Verse 9 says, and if you believe that Jesus died for our sins and iniquities, and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Very simple. If you made that confession, then you must believe it, and you must repent. Do not go back to the ways you were living. Please don't do it. And if you've backslidden, come back home right now. Or you should have been back as soon as I started saying prodigal sons and daughters. You should have been knocking on the door, opening the door. Jesus, please accept me back. Rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Okay? Don't go and mess up things and go back to the things you were doing, no matter what it was. Don't go back to that. Stay away. Separate yourself from these perverse generation. According to the book of Acts, you must be baptized in the only name known under heaven, which is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven among men that is Jesus Christ. That's the only name that you must be saved by. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. Nothing else. No other way. Jesus, the way. Jesus, the way. You must believe that Jesus died for our sins and iniquities. And you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And Peter said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 2, chapter 2 of Acts, beginning at verse of oh my God, 38 through 40. Chapter 2, verse 38 through 40. And Peter said, repent. This was his first words to the multitude. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's no other name except Jesus Christ. Separate yourself from this perverse generation. And for you and for your family and all who are far off, God will, when you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent, you shall be saved, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And it's beneficial to you and your family and your neighbors and everyone involved in your life if you just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you can speak to others. You are now an ambassador in Christ. You don't have to wear a title like apostle or bishop or pastor or evangelist. None of that. You're an evangelist. You are an ambassador for Christ Jesus. Talk to other people. Read the word. Read the scriptures for yourself. Ask Jesus to explain to you what is being said. Some read the old King James Version, and it's a great Bible. But it's hard to read because they use old Hebrew and Greek words, and you know, these thous, thou art, thine, and a lot of people don't understand that. But you get an Amplified Bible, New Living Translation, NIV, or English Standard Version, American Standard Version. It's said in plain everyday English as we speak now. Read the Bible. Ask for explanations. Stop. Read a little bit. And if you don't understand it, ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the answer. Whatever way the Holy Spirit feels like he should give you the answer. Through a friend, through someone casually speaking, or you call someone who's a seasoned Christian. It may be. Ask your pastor. Ask any clergyman, clergy person, I should say. Ask, and somebody is going to be able to explain you what that means. Read it for yourself. Go to your concordance. You have concordance on every one of these cell phones. They have a concordance. They have a Bible dictionary. Go to it. Some people have tablets. You have computers at your house. These computers are amazing. They have everything that you need to know is in that computer. You know, no matter what the questions are, there's an answer for it, especially with the Word of God. There's a modern-day explanation for things that you can't understand in the old Greek and Hebrew Bibles. Read it for yourself, and I say congratulations to all those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And for all those who have returned home, there is a party. There is a celebration going on in heaven for every soul that accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior today. There's a celebration every day for every soul. Make sure that your soul is being celebrated by receiving Jesus. And remember, repent. Do not return to the way you were living. Your slate is clean. Anything you have committed, any sins you have committed, you're forgiven. Just accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't taint that slate, which is clean. Don't taint it with any sin that you did not repent of and go back to doing it. Don't do it. I'm urging you, please. And right now, with the way things are going on, school shootings all over the country, innocent people being killed in church services. They're going in, this guy goes in and locks the door of the church and go to shooting people in service going on, killing people in the church. Department stores, supermarkets, everywhere. They're just killing people randomly. Gangs, initiation, kill somebody, get into a gang. Evil is everywhere. And the devil is stepping up his game. Ask Jesus to rebuke him. Jesus, rebuke the enemy for your sake, Lord. Help us. We need your help. And stick with Jesus. He is the only way. God bless you and yours. Be safe. Follow the laws of the land. And invite people to your baptism. Whenever the church will baptize you, invite people to your baptism and make sure they baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in the book of Acts. It's the only name mentioned under the heavens. The only way. Invite people, and whomever you invite, if that person decides, well, hey, I'm going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that soul is just coming to you for bringing that soul in just by asking somebody to come and view your baptism. They might want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior also. Holy Spirit might put on their mind, hey, I need to be accepted by Jesus Christ. It's the only way. God bless you. And God bless the person who accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Remember, brand new ambassadors, you know, you got your own thing now. God has given us. Please accept it. Don't worry about it. I'm a bishop, or my wife's an apostle, or Apostle Calendar, Apostle Stewart. There's positions. Yes, there is. Prophets and prophetess. Sure. Evangelists, ministers, deacons. Well, a position. It's only a name, a leadership position. You have just as much rights as everyone else that has a specific name. You're an ambassador. We all are. We're all ambassadors. So congratulations to everyone. And I pray that you would listen to this message again. You're going to get so much more out of it than you heard the first time, because sometimes things will distract you and you miss. But it'll be online in a couple of hours, I'm pretty sure. You can go back and review it. Just go to Blog Talk Radio with David Callender. And you can pull it up on your computer, on your cell phone, or whatever. God bless you. And back to you, Apostle.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that prayer of salvation and giving the Lord an opportunity to receive Jesus, and those that backslide an opportunity to rededicate their lives.
Yes,
you know, we can't ask for much more. Jesus keeps his hands out. His hands are always out, reaching out to to receive someone that will call upon his name in repentance. And also we are excited about that. So the topic today that we did today was consecration and separation. Coming out of the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 1 to 21. And then we went to the book of Judges, chapter 13 and chapter 14. We do, but did both chapters. Just, if you didn't hear the word, go back and listen to it. Because we teaching this thing because this is what the Lord tell us to do. This is not what I want to do. You know, I want to teach something to make you jump and say yes, but God said no. This is what I want taught, that you would teach the word that people can be, would hear my voice through the word and be convicted to turn to me. That's what the Lord said. So that's what I'm teaching. I'm not teaching to get more people on Blog Talk Radio. I'm not teaching to get no money. I'm not teaching for anything but to convict people to turn their lives over to Christ Jesus. He's the one that washes. He's the one that cleanses. He's the one that saves. He's the one that redeems. That's all that I'm preaching for. And if I, by some reason of the Holy Spirit, accomplish that task, I have done what he called me to do.
Amen.
That's all. The line is open for anyone that wants to come and add, respond, sing a song. If you dance, I can't see you dancing, but if it makes you feel good where you are, you can dance. Dance to the Lord. The line is open.
Thank God for the word of Apostle Calendar. Thank God for the word all week long. I get on here many times I can. Listen every day. Enjoy the word yesterday. And from Monday to Friday, the word is always good whenever I come on here. And I'm not working. I'm busy. But I thank God for the word. You know, God requiring us to be holy even if he is holy. And, you know, the Bible says, if you hear the voice, harden not your heart. So thank God that he sent the apostles and men and women of God to bring good words to help line up this word that we can do what he called us to do, to be holy and walk holy. So I just thank God for the word today. Like I said, all week long, it's been a good word. All week it's been good, you know, and it's been good to my soul, and I just thank God for it. Thank God for this radio broadcast, and I pray that y'all be blessed, and y'all have a blessed day. I'm going to get back to work. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones, and stay safe out there. We pray God continue to watch over you while you're driving back and forth and keep you safe, you know. We always appreciate when you're here. I know you was coming on all the weekend. You're busy, but we're glad to hear you come on and hear the word, you know. We appreciate your presence. We don't take your presence lightly. You know, when you're here, we see you. And even if you don't get the response, we know that you heard the word. That's the same thing we were saying yesterday. We know you heard the word. Once you hear the word is a convictor. The word is going to bear, he's going to bear presence in our heart. It's going to show itself up once we hear it. I know I used to go to church and they said, man, I'm hearing the preacher preach so strong. Man, he's preaching so fast I couldn't get the stuff because I was listening to the word. And I didn't have time to write down. But when I'm going down the highway and leave the church coming home, man, all I could hear was that word. Like the preacher was sitting next to me. It was just coming back to me like he was sitting there. I said, wow, this is what they talk about. Once you hear it, that word is going to germinate inside your soul. So thank you so much, Minister Jones. We appreciate you. The line is open.
Hi. Good afternoon. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Good afternoon, Pastor.
I'm here right now. Glory, hallelujah. Thank God for the word.
Thank
God for you, Apostle, for the delivery today, for delivering our meal today, so we could eat another good meal. Hallelujah. We got the mail. Hallelujah. Straight from heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord and thank God for everyone on the line. Hallelujah to our brothers and sisters around the world. We are thankful for you. Thankful that you came to worship with us today. We are very, very happy about that. And we are even rejoicing and thanking God for those that will come in the future.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We know that there will be others to come. Glory be to God. There will be others to be saved. Glory to God. There will be others to come back to the Lord. Glory to God. Because God is going to make it happen. The convictor. You talked about conviction today. Conviction, concentration, sanctification. So we ought to have some gratification. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We got to have some thankfulness unto God. Glory be to God. And that truly is communing with God. You talked about communion. You talked about sanctification. But we have to be set apart from the world if we truly want to commune with God. Mm-hmm. Communion is more than taking the bread and the wine. We commune with God. Hallelujah. When we pray, when we praise, when we say thank you, Lord, when we are doing the word, we are communing. And that is keeping us set apart. When we're doing the word, we are praying to the great I Am and asking the I Am, the I Am, the Lord, the Yahweh, Jesus Christ. By the way, Yahweh means Jesus saved. Glory be to God. That's what it means, Jesus saved. And so once we are really, really saved and born again apostle, we are not going to compromise. We are going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us so that we will not compromise like Samson did. But Samson allowed his flesh to take over. Because he had that enemy in his ear all the time. And it speaks to us as to the fact that the enemy is going to be in our ear. He's going to say things. He's going to come into our minds. He can't read our minds, but he can interject those thoughts like Bishop always says. And so he had that Jezebel, I think her name was Delilah. Wasn't her name Delilah? Yeah, it was Delilah, a very beautiful woman. And the enemy knew where he was going to be weak, his love for that woman, and you already preached it. But the gist of the whole thing is that we have to hear God. And he knew that he wasn't supposed to tell that secret. He wasn't supposed to do it, but she kept telling him, if you love me, if you love me. Well, if we love the Lord. If we really love the Lord, then we're going to know how to say no, because the Holy Spirit will give us the that unction to say no, keep us from being tempted. We're going to be tempted, but you know, the enemy's going to come to tempt, but we're not going to fall into temptation when we have the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, convict us. Amen. That's who he is. That's our helper. We call on the helper. Call Jesus, help me, because you know I want to do this. You know I want to go there. You know, we just got to be honest with God. You know I want to do it. You know I want to go. You know my flesh is talking to me. Help me, Holy Spirit. We got to call on the Lord for help. And you said, no, we don't have to carry our Bibles around. No, I said it yesterday, too. You don't have to carry a Bible and have your Bible in your hand, but you got to have the Bible. We got to have the Bible in us. We got to be a walking epistle, amen, a walking word. We got to walk with the word, constantly have conversations with God, communing with God, networking with other people and giving God's word to other people. But again, that story is so powerful. We can learn so much from that story, and we have learned today. Don't compromise. Do not. Do not compromise no matter what the enemy brings before us. If we call on the Holy Spirit, got to call upon him. Lord Jesus Christ, help me. Because, see, we got the kingdom. If you got the kingdom living in you, Jesus Christ, the comforter, the helper, that's who Jesus is, the great I am living in us, because he said, I am. When he said, I am, he was saying, I am God. And then John said it best. He is the Word. Was the Word, always will be the Word. Amen. He's the Word. So when we got that Word in us, John said it best. He started out saying it. He is the Word. He's the Word. And so when we got that Word in us, we got the kingdom in us. Oh, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Glory be to God. And when that temptation comes, if we prayed up and we're walking in the power, walking in authority, walking in love, that devil will not be able to get his way. We're going to allow our God to have his way. Amen. So that's a very powerful story. Letting us know, rely on your Holy Spirit. That's what I was hearing. Rely on your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and keep us from being disobedient to God. And you kept talking about repentance. So we got to repent. And I was talking to, when you said about repentance, I was saying, okay, when you repent, I heard in my spirit, when you repent, and we know that means to turn away from, right? We're going to turn away from it. We're going to turn our head. We're going to say no. We're going to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And when we decide that through the power of the Holy Spirit, then that power overrides every other. That power overrides every other. The power of the Holy Spirit is greater than any temptation. But our flesh want to still do what it want to do. And so Samson was hooked on Delilah. He wasn't hooked on the Word like he should have been. His mother dedicated him. His mother dedicated him to the Lord. And you even told the people what Nazarene means. What is a Nazarene? And so there was really good teaching today. What is a Nazarene? You know, so that's so wonderful, because a lot of people don't, like I said yesterday, nobody knows everything. But he was supposed to be set apart for the Lord. He was sent there to be one, to be a model for the Lord. He was sent there, particularly in that place where there was so much sin in that place, and he was supposed to be the one that was a vessel for the Lord, the one that was going to show the people how to live holy, how to do what's right, letting his light shine. But that Delilah was sent to destroy him, and the devil is the one that wants to destroy God's people, and we got to keep that in mind. Don't allow him to use your flesh to go against God, because the flesh is full of sin. The flesh want to do it all. And you said that too in the message. The flesh don't want to do what's right. And so that story is a powerful story. But in the end, he gave it all up for God. He gave his life. He gave his life. He destroyed that. God gave him his strength back in the end. I don't know if you got to the end yet, because we were talking. I don't know if you got to the end of the book yet. But I'm not going to say no more about it, because you may want to come back with part two. I don't know. But at any rate, God still used him and was using him. But at the same time, the devil was coming in to destroy him, because the devil knew what his assignment was. And he wanted to destroy that. He wanted to put assignment too. His assignment was to destroy Samson, and that's his assignment for us. He want to destroy and kill all of us. Mm-hmm. Amen. So that's what's so powerful about that story. If we would just decide in our minds, I know I got the power of God living in me, and I know that I have authority. I know I can take authority over these spirits. I don't care what incantations they do, what witch, what warlock, what kind of evil that the devil is sending our way. We got the power of the Holy Spirit, the great I am, Jehovah, inside of us, which is greater than any other. Glory be to God. And so that's what I take from this, that we can do all things through Christ. Amen. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can be not just hearers, but be doers of the word. Why we can? Because we got Jesus Christ, our Messiah, living in us. He always was, always will be. Amen. He was with God, always will be with God. He let them Pharisees know. When he said, I am, when he said, I am, he was saying, I am the Lord. He was saying, I am God. That's me. I'm God in the flesh. Amen. That's what he was telling them. And so when we have God in us, we got that light. We got that light, and that light is going to expel the darkness. Glory be to God. Walk in the light, and you're not going to slip into darkness. Amen. He slipped. He slipped big time. Samson did. And his life was destroyed anyhow. But he still did what was right in the end. Amen. And I know you're probably going to talk more about that. I don't know. But I just wanted to say that. That's what I was hearing. No compromise. No compromise. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged. Amen. We're going to be, amen. I hear you, Brother Jones. But listen, just if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling, because God said he told us we're weak because he knows we live in this, we're embodied in this flesh. We're weak. If something comes upon you or me or anyone, and we're those that say that we're Christians, we're saints of the Lord, we call on the Holy Spirit. He's available 24/7. You know, they say you got crisis lines and you got people you can call. Yeah, we got intercessors. We got friends who pray. We call on friends. But you know what? All you got to do is say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know God. God, you said, you know I'm weak, God. I need you, Lord. Lord, I need you right now. I need you right now, God. Help me. Help me. And you know what? He's going to come. He's right there. He's with us. He's in us. He's Emmanuel, which means with us. That's his name, Emmanuel. It means God with us. He's in us. All you got to do is call on the power. Use that authority. Use that authority and tell that devil, get out of here. I rebuke this. I rebuke this right now. I cancel your assignment right now. I cancel your assignment in the name of Jesus. I am not going to go against my God. I am not going to disobey my God. We can just say no with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he didn't do. He let her do what she wanted to do. Amen, because that was a powerful enemy there. That was an enemy. It came to him, and it attacked his flesh. That's the only way he can attack us is through our flesh, okay? And he's going to give us what he knows we want. Give us what we know he knows we want when we are weak. There are areas that we're all weak in. Amen. And the enemy is going to come and attack in that area. He's going to give you all of the different things. He's going to put it before your eyes. If you got a lust spirit, he's going to put that person. If you got a lust spirit, some people lust for not just people. People lust for all kinds of stuff. But whatever it is that we lust for, the enemy is going to put it in front of us. Oh, yes, he is. Try not drinking. Somebody gonna offer you a drink. Try not smoking. Somebody gonna offer you a smoke. If you ever been on drugs, people gonna try to give you drugs. You know, or put somebody in front of you. You gonna see them snorting or something. You know, he's gonna put it in front of our eyes. But as long as we keep our mind on Jesus, keeping our mind stayed on Jesus, it says that he gives us his perfect peace. What is perfect peace? His perfect will going forth in our lives. That is the perfect peace of God. His perfect peace. We're relying on the perfect will of God in our lives. We're trusting him. And he's going to be the one to defend us. He's going to be the one to help us, to fight for us. God said, the battle ain't for you. Yes, we do have the challenges, but the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. All we got to do is fight the good fight of faith. I say it all the time.
Fight with faith. Amen. Fight with the sword of the Spirit, the Word. That's all we got to do is say what God says. That's it. Just say what he says. I can do this. I can. I got the strength of the Emmanuel that's in me. God is with us. Amen. The Holy Spirit, think about it. The Holy Spirit, the greatest. The King of Kings and the Lord of Glory is with us. Glory be to God. And God be for us, who can be against us? That's what the Word says. So we got to quote the Word. We got to quote the Word and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you're with me everywhere I go, God. If I'm in my car, if I'm in another country, wherever I am, God. Our brother John on the road in his truck, God is keeping him. God is keeping him safe on that road. Glory be to God. He's keeping him. He's keeping his family when he's not around. Glory, he's keeping his family when he is around. Glory be to God. He's keeping us. He's our keeper, our shepherd. We shall not want. So just keep the word of the Lord. Keeping your mind stayed on God. Keeping our mind stayed, being still, knowing he's God. Amen. Being still in our mind. Hallelujah. Be still. Hallelujah. Talk to that flesh and tell that flesh, oh, no, you're not going to have your way. I got God. Hallelujah. God is protecting me. Glory be to God. I got God. A great I am, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It's so wonderful to know that I'm not going to be killed. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pressing, keep going by faith, with my faith, even the faith that God gave us. We didn't even get that on our own. He gave us all a measure of faith, and he want to build our faith. So God will allow us to be tested. He'll put us through tests. He'll put us through. He'll allow us to go through trials, all that. But while he's allowing us to go through, he's getting us through. Amen? God is getting us through. No matter what you're going through, no matter what, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how bad it is. God is wonderful. And he says, remember what he says, you're above only and not beneath. He will help you to fly high over it. Soar with the wings of an eagle. Soar high above it all. Because God said you're above only and not beneath. Glory be to God. You ain't hanging out with no chickens. You hanging out with the eagles. Glory be to God. You're not a chicken. My God. Hallelujah. My God. You got God. Hallelujah. Press on, saints. Press on. Press on. You can do it with the Lord's strength. And just call on him. Call on the name above all names. Jesus Christ. Yahweh. The Lord who saves.
Amen.
He'll save us. He'll save us.
Amen.
He'll keep us from drowning. He'll keep us from sinking. He'll keep us from going down. He'll keep us with our head up. Hallelujah. Worshiping him. Raising up our hands. Praising him. Saying, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Every day when you thank God for all that he gives. Amen. Oh, yeah, you just got to rest. Drink some hot tea later. Glory to God. Leon had a procedure today. She had a procedure, and but she is well. She is well. She's resting.
Amen.
So glory be to God. God got her
procedure. I need I need somebody to pray right now. They just arrested 4 people in Texas. They just supposed to be wanted to have 2 more mass shootings. So it was stopped. They were stopped. One man was arrested 15 miles outside of Texas. Was planning to shoot up a school. And 3 other kids was arrested on another place in Texas. They were at home planning to go shoot up a school.
Somebody
snitched on them, and they are in custody right now. So we have to pray for our kids, pray for these kids. So I just got an email. So if you would prayer. The devil is not is not standing still. She is on the ground.
The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is.
The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is. Amen. Hallelujah.
What's going on? I'm just gonna say this. I don't want to say too much, but what's going on is that the government is sending out Manchurian candidates. If you ever get a chance to look that up, they're trying to hurry up and push the martial law and disarm America. So a lot of this stuff they're doing, a lot of people don't know. They're willing to kill and do whatever it takes to push this new world movement. So
yeah,
it's going. You know, I don't want to say too much, but, you know, you got, you know, like you said, you got to pray, because a lot of this stuff they doing, you know, they send it out. A lot of the guys that they have, they call them Manchurian candidates, where they brainwash them, and they use certain type of frequencies that cause these guys to want to kill, and they use them in neighborhoods, and there's a lot of evil stuff that they do to push their martial law. And so what they're doing is trying to push a new world movement by causing all these murders to happen. They're willing to, and they sending out their own soldiers that they have you created in the lab, these super soldiers, to kill people, and this is what's happening. And that's all I'm going to say, you know, but like you said, you got to pray and be careful, and you got to be covered by the blood, because a lot of stuff is going to get worse, because they're doing everything it takes for them to move, to push this new world movement. By making it, pushing the fear tactic, sending out people to kill in certain areas so they can push this martial law to disarm America. So when they get ready to do this new world movement, they can come in your home and lock you up if you don't want to go along with it. So there's a lot of stuff happening, and they got their hands in it. And so you just have to pray, like you just said. That's all I got to say. I'm not going to say too much. It's a lot. It's bigger than what we think it is. And we really have to pray that God keep our families and keep us, that we'll be in the right place at the right time. That's all I got to say.
You know,
you're on point. You're on point, Minister Jones. You're on point, you know, because I know that. I know that already. But if you say that, some people are not going to believe it. But I know that because I research that stuff. I know what they're doing, just like what they're doing to the farmers. You know, they're burning up the farms and killing all the food. So...
It's
you
Satan.
See them farmers have to throw all them thousands upon thousands of Irish potatoes. They throw them away. Some people are starving. They tell them to throw them away.
But it's Satan. So. It's Satan. It's what's supposed to be happening during this time. We're in the end times. It's not going to stop. I said it yesterday. It's not going to stop. No matter what their names are, they're still being hated by the devil. It's demonic. And that's what it is. It's demonic. Even the one world order that they want to do is demonic. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's the enemy. And he know his time is getting shorter. And no matter what their names are, when they do these things, it's demonic. That's the bottom line. The devil is behind it. The Father has told us that he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And destroy. If he's not able to kill, he will destroy. Hallelujah. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job, and he's doing it well. Apostle, you said it in one of your messages this week. He's doing it well. So we have to do well. We have to do well in terms of our Christianity, in terms of what we believe. We have to do what God says. Just pray, and not be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
Right.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a power, love, and a sound mind. And we just have to, we can't keep a sound mind without Jesus.
Not only
these
pray.
People don't have no sound mind. They don't have a sound mind. They got the devil. The devil is using the government. He's using the education system. He's using every system. He's in everything. But he's not greater than God. And God's going to have the final say. I tell you, he has the final say. God is in control. God could stop it. But he's in control. And everything that's happening is ushering our Jesus in. Come, Lord Jesus. Pray. God said pray for the church. Pray for Jerusalem. Pray for the church. Just pray. That's all we got to do is pray. And God's going to protect. God's going to provide. He's going to do everything he said he's going to do for his saints. Amen. And the devil is already destroyed. All that's going on right now has to be played out. It's prophecy. It has to be played out. It has to happen, y'all. You know what I'm saying? God knows what he's doing. He's allowing what he's allowing. And the more we pray, it's going to help others. Amen. So let's just keep on doing what we're doing. Amen. But brother, you're all right. It's evil spirits.
Amen.
They got different names out there, but they're spirits.
Amen.
And they got so many different spirits out here in the earth. So many different spirits.
Yes.
Look it up. Look it up. Read about
that's right.
it. Read about it.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to go into all that, but I know there are all kinds of spirits. Sin is a spirit. Every sin, adultery is a spirit. Adultery is a spirit. Fornication is a spirit. Drugs are spirits. Hallelujah. All these are spirits. Alcohol is a spirit. Lying is a spirit. All those are evil spirits. Amen? They're all evil spirits. When somebody's out there prostituting, it's because of an evil spirit.
Because
when they're prophesying in the church, it's an evil spirit. Go ahead, evangelist. I hear you. And if you don't mind, would you? Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, evangelist. I hear you. Amen.
Woman of God, it's good to hear your voice again. The air now. But I'm getting, I think the Lord is quieting me. I got to go to a revival. I haven't heard the word revival except when we had it on Apostle Grant's line. And what happened is the man of God and his family came into my place of work. And, so what happened was they were dressed like East Coast, you know, like they had been to church. And I'm going to say it was the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit led me to go ask the woman with a little girl what church they belong to. And what it is that her husband was the one sent to preach for the revival. And they come from San Diego, so I finally made it to service on yesterday. And it was a on-time word, and it has to do with this message, too, which I didn't get to hear, and that is we must not drift away, that there was a picture. I thought it was so profound, because when I've been in sin, Hebrews talks to me, the book of Hebrews, and, you know, there's a warning to the church that, shall we neglect a so great a salvation? And there's the other warning that if God destroyed the angels who didn't have the Holy Spirit, what would happen to those who have the Holy Spirit and turn their back on God in the day, like in the judgment or when they die? What will happen to them? And it can happen to anyone if you're caught off guard, because I haven't arrived. I want to say that I had a about mass shooting, and I called. I just had a about mass shooting, but I didn't know what to do with it.
We need to pray because we're not on point. We're not on point. God asked us to pray. I need somebody to pray now. Somebody to pray, please. Let's stay on point. Let's pray. Somebody pray.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
We ask you to put us on post. We're called for such a time as this to make a difference.
Yes,
and our presence, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, can shift the atmosphere. And because we don't know who we are in Christ, for some and some who do, so much is happening in this world. But we ask you in the name of Jesus that the word, your word, be proclaimed in all of the land, because you said it will reach every part. We pray for souls to be saved. We pray in the midst of these disasters that have happened and are bound to happen, that keep happening, that the forces of darkness will not penetrate the earth because of the prayers of the saints and because people are on their post. We thank you, Father, that these events did not go forward because of the events that have happened not long ago and 2 days ago. Put people on guard, on their post. So, Lord, we pray that this isn't just a conversation on the news media for a moment, but this is a conversation of the fact that we have taken prayer out of schools, that we are divided on what we believe when America has been founded and was a Christian nation. We pray in the name of Jesus because it is only us coming back to you. Us coming back to you and allowing you to move in us to help us know that prayer will not only set the atmosphere, but it will penetrate the darkness and it will locate the presence of evil, because you said that there are prophets. You have called prophets. You have called seers. You have equipped the saints with every kind of gift, oh God, for this universe, for this earth. We pray for law enforcement. We pray for the Senate. We pray for the legislative body of the United States, of the states, and of the counties. We pray for the church. We pray for the man and the woman of God to rise up, to take their place and not back down, to declare your word. We also pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to access us. It has, but we don't access it. We don't yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm a living witness. But once we yield to you, you said, greater work shall we do in your name. You said we would cast out demons in your name. We will heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover in your name. Lord, we've gone through a pandemic, and we've gotten rusty. We got cobwebs on us in terms of the building, in terms of the place where people gather. It isn't about the program. It isn't about the songs we sing unless they praise you. As David, when he played the harp, it calmed the spirit of Saul. We need music and prayers that go up to heaven, so that we can get an answer from you on how to solve issues. Lord, we cannot solve these problems on our own. We need help from heaven. We need help from heaven to help us design a strategy of offense and defense against the wiles of the enemy. To locate, we need to understand that the law enforcement needs prayer. The law enforcement, the city officials need, And Lord, because of the sins of our forefathers and because of the sin of our nation, because our sins and because of what has been allowed in this government and throughout the world, oh God, with its leaders, it says where sin abounds, grace also abounds. But Lord, because of the laws that have been passed, because people don't know you. In high places, wickedness is abounding, oh God. And we pray that you help us to find a solution and an answer. Because whatever the government's doing, it's doing it, I have to agree, it's doing it because they don't know God. It's doing it because they believe they are God. They believe they have the power to destroy. But this is your world. You said the earth is the Lord and everything that's in it. So, Father, we cannot solve it without you and without your solutions and without the leaders that you want to set in place that have your heart, that have your ear, that listen to you. As you had called Joshua. Joshua, you called them. And they won that war because there was sin. They lost that war because there was sin in the camp. He went to you. He inquired of you on why they lost that battle. And you told them what to do. We need the spirit of Joshua. We need Joshua's in the land. We need Daniel's in the land. We need the men of God, the women of God, who have a prophetic mantle on their lives. Because when they speak, we can hear it. Some don't want to pay attention to the prophet or the prophetess. But, Lord, we pray also against the attack against the people of God, against the women of God and the men of God to try to take them out where they believe they have no power to distract them from their calling. Lord, we ask you to help us, and we ask you to help us to learn how to pray effectively, to learn how to see effectively, to watch, to that we can hear things in secret. Like Elijah heard what was going on in someone's bedroom. The warnings that you give us. You want to speak to us. You want to talk to us. You want to show us some things. But we have to press into you. We have to come closer to you so that we can be what you called us to be. We cannot solve these problems on our own without your help. So we thank you for those who were able to circumvent the circumstances that it could have been devastating in cities. We pray against the spirit of terrorism that is on our shores. We pray because we look for the enemy from afar when the enemy could be right next door. We ask you to snuff them out for us. We ask you to help us to pay attention to the signs around us. We ask you to pay attention to the people that are in dark places, hidden, doing things behind closed doors that we cannot see. When we pass a house, when we pass a building, we ask you, oh God, to sensitize us to what is going on in the household, in the neighborhood, in the community, that something is not right. We ask you to pray. We ask you, Lord God, sometimes we don't even understand the gifts you give us. But I know I've walked by a house and I didn't feel right about the house, and you said don't go that way anymore because there's something going on in that house, the hideaways. We ask you, God, to snuff out hideaways. We ask you to snuff out cells where terrorists plan to do their attack. Lord, we don't mind cameras right now. We don't even mind surveillance right now. Even though there's a plan of a new world order, oh God, it doesn't take you by surprise. because you know everything. But you want us to know what's going on. And we ask you, oh God, we ask you to protect those who you call for such a time as this. As you had said, when Elijah thought he was the only one, you named exactly how many prophets you have because you are a numbers person. You know everything. So, Father, we pray for your will to be done on earth. As Jesus has said, we ought to pray this way. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, Father. We ask you to give us our daily bread, O Lord. The enemy tries to distract us, and we allow distractions by things we go through. When you want us to be in your presence to get our daily portion to hear from heaven's quarters, O God. We ask you, O God, that you give us our daily bread. Help us to know the manna of life. Help us to know that you are our life. You are our source. Help us to come back to you, O God. Help me to come back to you. Help me to repent daily so that I can hear your voice, so that I know my assignment for today. It says today is sufficient for the things thereof, O God. We thank you, O God, because we're all on high alert this moment, but then we relax. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the church shall prevail and that the body of Christ shall rise to the occasion for such a time as this. We ask you to call us, God. We ask you to keep calling us out of darkness into the light. Help us to hear your voice, O God, for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, thank you for the accidents that were prevented. O God, we ask you to help us to understand the mindset of this young man. And Lord, I'm just listening. You know, we want to blame this person. We want to blame the Rifle Association. We want to blame this. Lord, how should we see the situation? Help us to get an understanding. It says, in all thy understanding, help us to get wisdom. We got so many opinions, oh God, so many points of view. But what are you saying about this situation and these situations that are happening in our land? We ask you, oh God, that you give us an understanding and help us to seek you in these situations, because you are the only one that can help us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Shield. Thank you so much for praying. Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, that's what we got to do every day. We got to pray. We got to pray, and we got to pull down strongholds. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We got to pray every day. We can't wait till something happens, because the enemy, I said it in the message this morning, the enemy don't drink coffee. He doesn't stop for lunch, and he doesn't care what time dinner is. Anytime he catch the people of God not on their job, he's going to put something in the path. Put something in the path to trip them up. One man was caught 15 miles outside of Texas, and he was walking to go to a school to shoot the school. And they find him with all these notes. Three kids was fine, planning with all these places that they want to shoot up. What is happening?
is that they have gone to a place that with this shutdown and lockdown and all this stuff, is the kids are not able to fellowship like before, you know. And then all this stuff that's coming over the TikTok and these different games that they got now, they're sending this messages through the games, and kids are going out and doing crazy stuff. And like I say, these messages are coming through the governments. They're sending because they want to accomplish their agenda, satanic agenda. Understand? So we have to pray. We have to pray. Glory to God. So I thank you for praying, Evangelist. The line is still open if anyone wants to respond. I thought I heard Brother Deacon Fraser. The line is open. Prophetess Kirchie will be bringing the word tomorrow. And then Evangelist Campbell is coming on Saturday. She already sent me her topic yesterday or the day before. She sent me her topic. And so we are excited about hearing more of the Lord's word. The line is open.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Heavenly Father, we come to you, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this beautiful day, Heavenly Father. But we ask you right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, it's all about what you will do. And all about you, Heavenly Father. The Lord, not about us, but it's about your will, Heavenly Father. But Lord, can't no one do it like you, Heavenly Father. But Lord, only you, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. We pray right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you right next to touch those. Whatever this situation going on, Heavenly Father, we pray to those in Texas, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, we lift up the lost, Heavenly Father. But Lord, it's about your will, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you, Heavenly Father, Lord. I come to you is not about I didn't come to me to be Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we don't take it lightly, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Heavenly Father, I pray for those, oh Heavenly Father. I pray for those on low I pray, Heavenly Father, in the White House, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I lift up in the nation's capital, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we pray on this church line, Heavenly Father. But Lord, you're the creator of this church line, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we know, Heavenly Father, it's all about your will, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Heavenly Father, right now, oh Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I lift up that those, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, I don't come to be like I'm sounding like nobody else, but Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, I pray it's all about your will, Heavenly Father. Lord, is not about us and not about nobody but you, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we all pray for one another. We pray for all those of the world, Heavenly Father. I looked up the city. Lord, I ask your Heavenly Father, it's not about how much money that we make, and not about how much, and it's not about who preached better than somebody, it's not about who pray better than somebody, it's not about who know the word better than somebody, it ain't about that, but Lord, it's all about your will, it's all about you, Heavenly Father, and we pray, Heavenly Father, because someone think they got it like that, they got it all together, or they think they got it going on with the next person. Or they look bad on somebody. Or they think they never be nothing. But the Bible says we are somebody in Christ. We are somebody. in Christ. We do all things through Christ. It ain't about you cause it hooked on yourself, because we hooked on our own self. But we never look, but we never get a chance to help a person. Always look down on them how they are. But we don't ever know who we have, who we might need. We never know who we need, because we don't ever know. Once you look down on a person, look down on a man, on a woman of God, guess what? We might need their help one day, because we don't ever know who we help we might need. We never know. In this day and time, we never know. Because one thing about it, I don't have to have my head up so high like I'm better than the next person. I never will get hooked on like I'm better than the next person. And I ain't trying to be that kind of person. The only thing that I look up to Jesus. I ain't got time to be about myself, because I know it's not about what I do. It's not about what I have. Only thing I can look up to Jesus. And I looked at that door. We know I looked at those Republicans. I looked at those Democrats. Because we got to be careful who we, because I'm going to tell you something. We got to be careful. Yeah, both of them ain't nothing but a bunch of crooks. They ain't nothing but crooks out there. Ain't nothing but crooks. And what we need to be worrying about, Jesus. We got to be worrying about the law. Worry about Jesus. Why worrying about some old, worrying about these politicians. And what we need to be worrying about, Jesus. Why worrying about these old politicians? And why we look up to spend time with Jesus more, with the law more, with the good Lord, than worry about some politician. We got to be, that's why we got to be prayed up. Because we see so much are happening in this world. I pray for those to be lifted up. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you
okay, Bishop, are you there? Yeah, I see everybody going.